Thanks, Lord. Just the right time. Have you ever said, I'm not sure? I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I've got what it takes. I'm not sure I even want to do this. I have. In fact, I've said that about every job I've had since I graduated from college. And that's only been three. And the third job I've had for less than 2 years. You see, the beginning of this year marked 31 years of full-time youth ministry for my incredible wife, Heather, over here. Would you please show her some love and appreciation? And those questions, that uncertainty, was what I asked myself when that first pastor asked me, Darren, I think you should be our youth pastor. I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I've got what it takes. I'm not sure I even want to do this. I wanted to teach. I wanted to coach. I went to Evangel. Let's give it up for Evangel University. I went to Evangel to do that. I was finishing up my student teaching. I was a grad assistant on the football team. I wanted to go home to California and teach and coach because I was sure I could do those things. I had confidence. I had been trained. I had been equipped to do those things. What I wasn't sure of is being a youth pastor. Because you see, at that point in time in my life, I had had eight youth pastors at my home church. Kathy, Skeeter, if you want that story, I'll give it to you later. Benny, Ron, Ken, Richard, Rick, and Tim. Those are my youth pastors in junior high and high school up to this point. Yet, when that pastor asked me, God seemed to be giving me an opportunity. But can I do this? Do I have what it takes? Do I even want to do this? I became a youth pastor, obviously. And then 7 years later, the district office, the superintendent calls and says, Darren, we want you to be our next district youth director. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I've got what it takes. I'm not sure I want to do this. Well, 23 years later, that was a pretty good gig for me. I kind of liked it, district youth director. But 23 years later, I get another phone call. Student discipleship director. The same uncertainty. Really, we're going to get to it in a minute. The same fear came inside me because I wasn't sure I could do it. I wasn't sure I had what it takes. Have you ever been there? Students, maybe you're saying this about going back to school. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. I'm not sure how it's going to work. Adults, maybe you said that when you accepted the job that you have right now. Or maybe right now you're being presented an opportunity, and those three uncertain quotes are going through your mind and really in your spirit probably. Adults, maybe you said that about going back to work, or maybe everybody said it this morning about coming to church. I'm not sure. But maybe some of you said that about being a Christian. Maybe some of you said that about faith in God. Maybe some of you said that about serving in your church. I'm just not sure. I want to take us to a scripture this morning. In your Bibles, if you have them, turn to Matthew chapter 25. But we do have it, and I've been told it's kind of small. We do have it on your screen for all you young eyes. In the building, you can follow along. A parable of Jesus that told us just kind of some background into what we're talking about this morning. I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning because it's a long verse of scripture. So we're going to read it together. Matthew chapter 25, follow along with me. Again, Jesus says, because he's been talking about the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for emphasis. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated. So what's Jesus doing? Let me give you a picture. Let me paint a picture for you what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like the story of a man going on a long trip. How many of you reading your scripture, reading your Bible, realize that Jesus has been gone for a long time. In our mind, in our thoughts, we're like, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're going to go. We'll be sure of it. It's like a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one servant, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. That's important. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. Verse 19, after a long time, the master returned from his trip, and he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. So the servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more. And he said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. I'm going to get to that in a minute too. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Come, let's celebrate together. So the servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 2 more. The master said again, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. So let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man. Harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavenly Father, thanks for this moment. We don't take this moment lightly. We have come into your presence with praise and thanksgiving on our hearts and our voices because you are our God. Lord Jesus, you are our Savior. Holy Spirit, you are our empowerer, our peace, our comfort. Holy Spirit, I pray that as you inspired even Christ, as you filled him, to share this story about your kingdom, that this morning in this place, thousands of years later, your Holy Spirit would speak to us, open up our ears to hear what you're trying to say to us this moment in time. We're here for you. We're here to hear from you. We're here to respond to what you would challenge us with in your word this morning. So we say, we are available today. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to quickly take us to 3 things that are found in this story that Jesus talks about. The first thing I want to draw our attention to is the talents. The talents in this story. I read several different commentators, and they seem to kind of come to a consensus that a talent, or the bags of silver in this story, one bag was about 20 years worth of wages. We're going to get to it in a minute, but remember the master's response. You have been faithful with so little. How many of you, 20 years worth of wages is kind of a lot? Well, if anything else, you know what that tells us? That tells us the wealth of the master. Isn't that incredible? The wealth of the master. So a talent or a bag of silver, it was about 20 years worth of wages. But most of us ascribe, because Jesus is painting a picture. Jesus is telling a story about the kingdom of God. that this story is not really about the money. This story is about this. It's about the opportunity to use the abilities that God has given us. It's not about money this morning. If you leave thinking about this story, hey, if we invest God's money that he's given us wisely, he's going to give us more, you're missing the point. Those bags of silver represented opportunities to use the abilities that God has given us. That's the approach that we're going to take to it this morning. Because you see, as I look across this congregation, I see that God has gifted every one of you with talents and abilities. What are we going to do with it? He gives us opportunities to use the abilities. In fact, that's what he made us for, to be a part of his body. One body, many parts. One body, many functions. One church, many gifts. One community, you're gifted to make a difference in that community. And they were given these gifts, their abilities, according to what they had, according to who they were. They were given these talents according to their abilities. There was one that had much ability. They were sharp. They were a great servant. They had it going on. And so the master gave him 5 bags of silver, 100 years worth of wages to work with. To one, two. Man, I'll take that. I'll just take 40 years worth of wages. And to even the lowliest one that had the least ability of the three, I'm giving you 20 years worth of salary to work with while I'm gone. The faith of a father, the faith of a master, to trust his servants with that. I want you to think about the faith that God has in you. Because you know what? He has more faith in you than you do. So when you say things like, I'm not sure, realize that God is. He is sure. He knows. He believes in you more than you believe in you. So they were given these talents, this money, according to their abilities. Because you see, not all of us are tall, dark, and handsome, smart, popular, piano or guitar playing, vocally gifted, administrative gurus, gifted to communicate, organized leaders like Pastor Dennis is. I mean, we're not all that. We can't be those things. I'll cross that off for next time. I won't use that one again. No, we're not all perfect. We're not all the best. We're not all the smartest. We're not all the brightest. But you know what? God trusts us. We've been given opportunities according to our abilities and gifts that God has given us. Opportunities to do what? Well, as we continue on the story, the second point I want to bring up is work. Now, Darren, this is a Sunday. We're not supposed to work on Sunday. This is why you're thinking, making us think about work today. Because that's what these servants did. They put their money to work. Different translations say it different ways. But once they got the money, they invested it. Once they got the money, they put the money to work for them. Two of them did. It says that they went to work immediately. They didn't wait. They started making the most of the opportunity that had been given to them. So question, when you're given the opportunity to use the abilities that God's given you, how do you respond? With faith? With uncertainty? With fear? With excitement or exhaustion? One more thing. When was the last new opportunity that you've been given? How did you respond? Ann Landers says this about opportunities. Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work. That's why most people don't recognize them. Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work. That's why most people don't recognize them. But the two servants in our story, they put their money to work, it says. They made the most of their opportunities to use their abilities. And it was hard work. These servants earned the other talents. These servants earned the other bags of silver. Nobody gave it to them. Nobody passed them on the street and said, hey, looks like you got 5 bags of silver there. Let me give you 5 more. They didn't feel entitled to another 5 bags of silver or to another 2 bags of silver. They didn't feel like they deserved more because the master had trusted them. They worked to get more. They worked to get more. Hard work. But one servant dug a hole and hid the bag of money. Instead of using the opportunity that he'd been given, he buried it. And that leads us to the third thing. Reward. Reward. Now, we all like rewards. Two of the servants were rewarded for what? Their faithfulness. Oh, you're reading my notes. They weren't rewarded because they brought back double the amount of money that the master had given him. He didn't say, well done, good and prosperous servants that doubled my money. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. They were rewarded for their faithfulness. It wasn't the portion that made the difference. They had been faithful, he said, with such small things, the master said. Now he was going to do what? Give them more responsibilities. You ever been there? You're given a task, you're given a responsibility. Man, I nailed it. I did a really good job with that. And you're expecting a pat on the back, which they got. And then you're expecting, let's just sit back and rest for a while because we did good. And man, let's look at how good we did. And let's look. And no, when you do good in the kingdom, you're going to get more responsibility. Not double money, not doubling your money this morning. We're doubling your responsibility. To do what? Use the gifts that God has given you. Double the opportunities. Their faithfulness, these two servants, their faithfulness, listen, gave them each a greater capacity for service and responsibility. The master said, I will put you in charge. I will make you responsible for many things. But the third servant didn't get a reward. In fact, just the opposite. He really received a punishment. Why? Because he was unfaithful. So he left unrewarded. He hid his opportunity and his abilities. And now what we really want to get to this morning. Why did that third servant do that? Fear. The first thing that basically comes out of his mouth is, I was. The first thing he makes about himself, he says, I know you were, I thought you were this way, but I was afraid. I was fearful. He was afraid he would fail. He was afraid he didn't have what it took. He was afraid he couldn't do the things that the master was asking him to do, even though the master believed in him. Because he was afraid to fail, he never even tried to succeed. There are no secrets to success, says General Colin Powell. There are no secrets to success. It's the result of this: hard work, preparation, and learning from failure. Hard work, preparation, learning from failure, that's the formula for success. Well, if you don't ever fail, if you don't ever try, you won't ever fail, you won't ever succeed. We learn from our failures, at least hopefully most of us do. When we fail, we don't want to do that again, and we get back up and we go on. But this servant was so fearful, the fear paralyzed him. The fear paralyzed him. He feared opportunity. He feared responsibility. He couldn't even get to the bank with a bag of money. He buried the ability. He despised the opportunity. He tried to protect it so that he wouldn't lose it. And what happened? He lost it. He lost it. The kingdom principle here is really simple, and we've all heard it before. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. And we could go to other parables that Jesus told about vines and branches and being cut off, but we're not going to go there this morning. If we don't use it, we'll lose it. I started off talking about my story just a little bit. Let's get back to it. But maybe it's not just my story this morning. Maybe it's yours too. When I was presented with an opportunity to use the ability that God had given me, I wasn't sure. Wasn't sure I could do it. I wasn't sure I had what it takes. I wasn't sure that I even wanted to do it. What is being sure? What is being sure? We call it faith. We call it faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things that we cannot see. Faith is assurance. Faith is our assurance. It's what we put in, not ourselves, it's what we put in our master. And one thing that I've had on my journey since I was a little kid, on my side, is faith. Through all those times, through all those opportunities, through all those questions, through all that uncertainty, there was a measure of faith that was at work in my life. Now, one thing that I've tried to be over the last 31 years, or longer really, but to ministry or what God gave me as far as opportunities, is I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to be faithful. I might not have always been full of faith, but I tried to be faithful. I tried to just keep after it. I tried to just keep going. I tried to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and walking down the path that God had created for me. Romans 12, chapter 3 tells us, each one of us have been given a measure of faith. All of us. All of us have a measure of faith. Now, some of us, maybe it seems like we have greater faith than others. Or you might think, man, my faith is so small. I hardly have any faith. I have just enough faith to believe that God is God. Well, Jesus tells another story that says if you just have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, which you can look that up. I wish I would have taken a picture of one, I guess. But it's so small. It's so minor. It's smaller than like a BB, if you're thinking. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it will be. So we've been each given a measure of faith. And this morning, you know what? God's not asking us to move mountains. He's asking us to get up and go to school. He's not asking us to move mountains. He's asking us to get up and go to work. He's not asking us to move mountains. He's asking us to get up and go to church. He's asking us to serve in our church. He's asking us to serve in our community. He's asking us to be a light in the darkness. He's asking us to use the abilities that he's given us for the opportunities that he opens up to us. We just need to do what he's asking us to do. And you say, but I can't preach like Pastor John can preach, or I'm not smart like Pastor Nick, or I'm not cool like Pastor Jeremy. I'm not sure. No buts. No, faith. That's just fear speaking inside of you, fear of failure, fear of not succeeding, fear of I'm not sure, I can't, maybe I'm. Now, in this room today, there are some five talent people. Some of those five talent people were on the stage earlier. They're amazing. They've been given some incredible talents by God. Now, there's also some two talent people in this room. You're there, and you know what? You've got it. You've got some ability. You've got some gifts. But even if you think you're the one talent person in here, remember, the master trusts you. The master believes in you. You might not think you have a lot to offer, but he thinks you do. So not too many of you are going to confuse me with the five talent guy. And I understand that. I know me. I look in the mirror every day. So as it comes to my story, then you're thinking, well, he's not going to put himself as the best in this story, so he's got to be just like the two talent guy. And I would say no to that. I would say no. Because you see, I know Darren Poe that grew up in Oildale, California. I know that guy. I look at him in the mirror every day that I get up. And I know and I believe that I was given one talent early on, but I just tried to never hide it. I just tried to not bury it. I just tried to be faithful. I just tried not to be too fearful. And you know what happens? That interest kind of compounds. And maybe I'm up to the two talent guy by now. But you know what? We're all somewhere in the story. Because you know why? I know that God believes in you. I know that our master trusts you. with the gifts and talents and abilities that he's given you. So the question is, what are you going to do with the opportunity? Are you going to be full of faith? Or are you going to be full of fear? Five talent people, you keep doing it. You're rock stars. Two talent people, we can't do it without you. But one talent people, if you're in the room, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Only God knows the plans that he has for you. You just never know. You're a child of God. Our Heavenly Father has given you a gift, ability, opportunities to use that. What will you do with it? So as the worship team comes back this morning, I want us to examine ourselves. Even in this pandemic season, in fact, I would say even more so, there are opportunities that we have to use the abilities that God's given us. I've told some people this, and I have to be careful how I say it, but the pandemic was pretty good for me. The job that I have when I went to headquarters was to create resources for the local church. And we put out more resources since March than maybe we have in the last 10 years. Because we focused and we all got focused on one thing, and that's what does the local church need and how can we get it to them. And so it's been really good. But you know what? I find even in the midst of this pandemic that's going on, there are opportunities that we have every day to use the abilities that God's given us. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to respond? God's just asking us to be faithful and not fearful. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." That's not the gift that he's given you. He's given you a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. As the worship team leads us in that last song, Available, I love the way that the Holy Spirit works things out for us. What's going to be your response to the opportunities that God's giving you in your world? What's the first response? I'm not sure. Fear, or I'm available. You've given me something. You've given me opportunities to use it. I'm available. As they lead us in this song, I want us to reflect and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, examine us. And as we sing this song, let's make that our prayer. Let's make that our response to the Lord. And if you're watching online, and you want to respond to this message this morning, you want to pray, you need prayer, you need someone to agree with you, you see right there on your screen, you have the opportunity to respond by clicking the appropriate box, and we have people that are ready to pray with you this morning. We have people that are ready to agree with you in prayer over what you need. The rest of us are just going to enter into a time of prayer and worship and response as the worship team leads us this morning. My final admonition is be faithful. Don't be fearful. Amen.